Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host. It is really lovely to have you here with me. Thank you for spending this time having a listen, whatever you're doing while you're listening. Do you do while you're listening? I enjoy knitting at the moment while I'm listening and walking and running at the gym, believe it or not. It's great. Anyway, whatever you're doing, it is really, really lovely to have you here with me. I am recording this podcast at the end of May, and I think I'll be putting it up at the beginning of June. So we're really heading into winter now, and I thought I'd give you a bit of feedback from listeners to the podcast. So one listener and good friend, Chris, he wrote back to me after my Winter is Coming podcast, and he said to me, had I thought about using a SAD light? So that's SAD, seasonal affective disorder light. And I couldn't believe that I'd even forgotten that. I haven't actually used one. I haven't bought one, but it is a really good suggestion. So that's a really bright light that you shine on your face first thing in the morning on a winter morning, and it gets all the right hormones working in your brain so that you wake up feeling more alert and alive. And so, yeah, if that's helpful to you, I just thought I'd pass it on from Chris that a SAD light might be something that helps with the winter as it comes. So we've got less than a month now until the solstice, so I'm getting excited about that. And a bit more feedback that I got just this weekend. So another listener and good friend, Jill. I'm really grateful to my good friends who are also listeners. Jill said to me that she doesn't agree with all I say on my podcast. And I'm sure that all of you people who know me and listen to this podcast are very well aware that I am not the font of all knowledge or wisdom. And if you don't know me personally, I hope that you are also very aware that I do not consider myself to be the font of all wisdom, even in this little area of life that I talk on in this podcast. One of the things is that we are all different personality types, and the things that I talk about are obviously things that have helped me and will help people who are like me. But I know that not everybody is like me. I've just been writing about for my new book that I'm writing, which is a self-help book about, you know, finding out what God wants you to do with your life and then making time to do it. And I've just been writing the chapter about personality types and how we're all different and how Moz is very, very different from me in that I like things to be planned and he likes things to be more spontaneous. And Jill's the same. She enjoys a bit of spontaneity in her life, and she said, if I plan to do, you know, X at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I know that I would not do it. And and I'm just so the opposite to that. If I say I'm going to do something at 10 o'clock tomorrow and it doesn't happen, then it really bothers me. And that's okay. That's just who we are. We're just different personality types. So that means that the advice that I give is not going to always apply to you. It's not going to always help you out. And I'm not bothered by that, and I hope that you're not trying to load on yourself things that don't apply. I just hope that some of what I say can be helpful to you, and I hope that as we discuss different topics that you can take what applies and what resonates and what's helpful, and please feel free to toss the rest in the bin. That's fine. So yeah, thank you for listening, and I do hope that what I say is helpful to you. If not every week, at least some of the time, and that, yeah, that you enjoy listening and that you get something out of it. Yeah. Because if not, I don't know why I'm doing this. Anyway, yes, I do hope it's helpful. So this week's topic is something that came to me that I was remembering because my brain was a bit all over the place and I was a bit, you know, really not sure what I was thinking. And what I was reminded of in my quiet time was a session that I did with the Christian Coaching Institute. So it was a workshop session at the Bishop's Training event, but this coach from the Christian Coaching Institute came to talk to us about coaching. And the thing that she asked us was two big questions. She gave us two questions to think on and ponder. And as you'll hear from my talk with Scotty, when you look at these two big questions, you can answer them in different layers, different depths of thought about them. And so have a listen to the chat that I have with Scotty, and then I'm going to unpack and maybe delve into a few of the different layers for these two questions afterwards.
Good morning, this is Ultra 106.5. Ruth Amos is with us again every couple of years. Every couple of weeks. Wow, it's been a long week so far, obviously.
Yeah, a whole year.
How are you going, Ruth?
I'm good, good. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a long time no see, like 2 years.
2 years. Yeah. Long time.
What are we talking about today?
I have two big questions for you, for everyone.
Yeah.
And the questions are, where are you and what do you want?
Okay.
So I went to a training session on life coaching at one point, and these are two questions that they came up with, and I just think they're excellent. Where are you now? Like, where are you in your life? What do you feel like and whatever? I often talk with you about checking in with yourself and seeing where you are. And then the second question, what do you want? I mean, if you don't, I was thinking if I ask you right now, what do you want? You're probably going to say a large coffee and $1 million. And so, sure, right, everybody wants this, but let's go a little bit deeper below the surface and say, well, what would you do? Like, if you had $1 million, what difference would that make to your life? Where do you actually want to be? And then at that point, you can start taking the baby steps that you need to take to get there.
Yeah, oh, that's really interesting. It's because if somebody asked me that, I didn't think my first response would be anything physical. Like, I think for me, my first response would be, and this is going to sound over-spiritual, I know, but my first response would be where I am in my faith.
Yeah.
And where I want to be in my faith. Like, that would probably be the most important thing to me. Like,
oh, well, that is the most important thing.
But it's that, like, most people, like, the normal human response would be, I'd like $1 million and, you know, and to be sitting on a beach in Bali, you know, like, mm-hmm. that would be kind of the, but I don't know, my first response was where I want to be spiritually.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds a bit weird, doesn't it?
No, it's really good. And I think, I mean, that's the deepest level and that's really where we need to come to, because that's the only way we're going to get what we want. Because I was thinking, oh, you know, take the beach in Bali, all right, you're what you're thinking there. But what you're looking at there is peace and, you know, that absence of worry and whatever. You can actually go to the beach in Bali and be where you are in yourself there. You know, you take all your worries with you. You take all your concerns with you. It doesn't necessarily physically where you are change what you're feeling. And so what we want to do instead is look at that and say, well, what does that mean about where I'm feeling now and where I want to be and how I can take steps to go there? Yeah.
I love that. And that's the whole concept, I guess, of our faith, is it transcends our physical, you know, like, so we can have a real peace and a joy in our faith, even if we're living through a storm, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it
absolutely.
Can be the hardest time in our life, yet there's a real joy in that.
Yeah. And I think too, this is something that I really struggle with, having been brought up a Christian, is that sometimes when people say, well, what do you want? I can't answer, because I say, well, that's selfish. I don't want to be selfish. What do I want? But Jesus actually asked that question. If you remember the blind man saying, Son of God, have mercy on me. And Jesus is like, what do you want? And it's for us, it's like, well, it's pretty bleeding obvious, Jesus.
He wants to see.
But he asked the question of the man, what do you want? And I just think that's lovely. And if you're a Christian listening right now and you're thinking, oh, I don't know about this, just imagine Jesus saying to you, what do you want? What do you actually want? And he actually wants to know.
Yeah. That's really, really good. I like that. Yeah. Is this a current blog that you're writing?
Yes. So this will be on ruthamos.com.au
nice.
As I think this through and on my podcast as I talk about it a bit more. But yeah.
Now, last time we spoke a couple of weeks ago, you were about to do a book fair thing.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
It was good,
fun.
Was it?
Oh, yeah, it was really good.
Nice.
Yes. So, yes, if you're interested in my novels, you can go to rjamos.com and you can find me there and all the I write murder mysteries and fun things like that.
But, so yeah. Good. So we'll have to do some book reviews soon.
That would be really great.
All
yeah.
Right. Nice. Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Scotty.
Ruth Amos.
And I didn't even pay him to do that advertising for me. He just came out with it himself. But yes, rjamos.com is where my novels are, and you are very welcome to check them out. And I would love to share that part of my life with you as well. But let's get back to these two big questions. So the first one, where are you? I guess while we can think about these both questions in terms of physical, like where are we right now? I am sitting in my office in my home and that's where I want to be. Or which state you're in. Maybe you want to travel overseas and where are you is not where you want to be. But we can think about, our physical, our emotional state, our spiritual state, where are we? We can go quite a lot deeper. And I think that it's a good idea to regularly check in with ourselves and say, where am I? And I mean, by regularly, I mean regularly. You know, I mean, in my 15 minutes of silence every morning, I stop there and I check in with myself. How am I feeling? Where am I? What's stressing me out right now? What feelings am I feeling? And give myself time to let those feelings come to the surface and actually be felt. I've been reading a memoir about someone who struggled with an eating disorder. And one of the things that she realized is that she has been not allowing herself to feel any of the feelings that she's had through her life. She's just squashed them all down and used her eating disorder to keep them all at bay. But taking time to feel those feelings is really important. I used to say about our church that we had a ministry of tears. People used to come to church and just sit and cry. And crying is good. Crying is oftentimes healthy, just to let those feelings out, to really understand where you are. And also, it doesn't have to be horrible feelings. What's joyful in your life right now? What's something that you're really grateful for? What are you happy about? And then what's stressful? Or are you feeling sad? Or are you feeling anxious? Or, you know, are you feeling the grief of the world right now? I mean, I've been quite sad since that latest unnecessary school shooting in the United States. It just breaks my heart, you know, these things. And to take the time to feel those feelings is good, is important, is part of being human. What's your health like right now? Is there something you can do about it? Maybe there isn't. But if there is, you know, what can you do about it? Where are you? What state are you in? Where are you physically, emotionally, mentally right now? Because once you've figured out where you are now, then you can move on to the next question. What do you want? And yeah, I know it's just so very easy to say, especially if you haven't taken that time to sit with your feelings first, to say, what do I want? I want $1 million. I want a week in Bali. I want, you know, a big house, and I want a beautiful car. But let's think about that a little bit deeper. And I love how Scotty went just straight for the spiritual, because honestly, that's the foundation of everything. And I think as a Christian, and I don't know if you're a Christian listening, but for me, really, the more that I want God above everything else, the more that everything else comes into line underneath that. And I'm learning and learning just how he satisfies all my desires, and reaching for him first is what I'm aiming for. That's the thing I'm taking steps towards. But God also does care about our other needs. And so, you know, I love that in Matthew 6 where it says, you know, don't worry about saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear, because your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. And again, in that story with the blind man that I was talking with Scotty about, you know, Jesus didn't say to the blind man, well, just follow me and you'll feel better about life. No, he healed him from his blindness. He gave him his life. I was going to say back, but he's been blind since birth. He just never was able to work or live. And Jesus gave him that gift. So he does care about these other parts of our lives. So, you know, what do you want? What do you want physically, you know, health-wise and exercise-wise? Do you have a goal? Is there somewhere you want to be? And is there some way that you can help yourself get along that path? What do you want job-wise? You know, are you happy where you're working? If so, fabulous. That's awesome. If you're not, why? Let's think about what you want. Does your job need to be more congruent with who you are personality-wise? Does your job need to be something that's more in line with your values? What sort of thing do you want to do? Could you fulfill that need in yourself from undertaking volunteer work or from some sort of hobby? Emotionally, what are you after? If your immediate go-to, what I want, is a week away on holidays, are you looking for more peace or contentment or that sort of thing? What do you want? Where are you going? So these are deep questions, and I can't answer them for you. You need to answer them for yourself. And I think often our first response is not our best response, and we need to sit with that and say, well, what does that first response mean? You know, if you say, what do I want? I want $1 million. Why do you want $1 million? What do you want to do with it? I used to think about, now, what would I do with $1 million? And now I think, now, yeah, what would I do with $1 million? And can I get that same effect with what I have? How much would I give away? And what am I looking for? Am I looking for security? Is that why I want it? So that I know that I'm secure. $1 million isn't very much at the moment. But would that give me a feeling of security? Well, can I find my security in God? Is there some other way to get that deeper thing that I'm looking for, not from that initial want? Even that initial surface, oh, I want a big cup of coffee. That might be an outworking of a deeper need for feeling organized or feeling in control. So let's take it deeper and let's think about what we really want. And then when you know what you really want, you can take baby steps towards getting there. If you really want to feel under control, you can, like I did, take 10 minutes and clean your bathroom, and it might make you feel a whole heap better when you start the week. You might just sort the pile of washing that's on your sofa so that you can sit in peace. You might just start looking around at other jobs that you might be able to do and see how they work in with what you want. You can write an everything list, dump everything that's in your brain on a piece of paper and get that starting feeling of getting your mind under control. You might decide, what I want is to be healthier and fitter, and you might just take the chance to go for a walk around the block every morning first thing, and just having that feeling of I've taken steps towards what I'm really wanting right now is really going to help you. So as I said, these questions came to me from the Christian Coaching Institute, and it may be that you need somebody to coach you through the answers to these questions as well, someone who is a life coach, who is good at asking those deeper questions and taking you deeper. So you can give them the surface response and they can give you a deeper question that takes you a little bit deeper, and you can give them your response to that and they can take you even deeper with another question. It may be that when you try and work it out for yourself, it doesn't work so well, and that it's really good to have somebody else to bounce off. And if that's where you're feeling, then totally encourage you to get in contact with them, because I think they're really, really brilliant. When I was answering these two questions for myself, I started answering them in my 15 minutes quiet time, and I realized that what I wanted was more peace and more time with God. And so I went down to the beach and I bought myself a coffee and I went for a long walk along the beach, and it was just absolutely wonderful to get that really, really bit more peace. And as I was walking in the silence, I realized that I'm really happy with where I am, job-wise, and working from home and doing this podcast and writing and all the things that I do. I've worked really hard to be here, and I feel like it's coming together well. And that was really nice to come to that conclusion. And also I realized that what I needed was more silent time with God. I needed to go on retreat, and I know I need this regularly, and yeah, it feels like now is the time that I need this. So I have booked a retreat place and I'm heading off for a couple of nights by myself. And that's just something I need regularly, and it was good to be reminded of those things. So yeah, answering these questions for yourself doesn't have to lead to major counseling or massive life change or something that's big and scary. It might lead to something really, really small, that just takes you in a baby step in the right direction. And that really depends on you and what you want. And so I just really encourage you to take the time to think it through. Just one more suggestion that I've got here on this is to, if you're finding it difficult to think about this in an abstract way, let's bring it down to earth and make it a bit more concrete. So let's think about what your perfect work day would be like. Can you sit there and imagine what a perfect work day from start to finish would be like? Or a perfect holiday, what your perfect day off would be like? Or even a perfect birthday, what would make you really happy on your birthday? And just sort of these concrete ideas that you can even write down in a journal somewhere or something, just to say, what would that perfect day be that can help you head in the right direction? And I did that before I left the university. I sat down one of my holidays and said, oh, I think an absolutely perfect day would be a day where I'm at home and I spend the morning writing, and in the afternoon I go for a walk to the beach and then come back home and do a bit of housework and make dinner and everything. And yeah, that that writing down of that perfect day was the beginning of me determining to change my life. So yes, these two questions can lead to massive life change, or they can lead to tiny life change, or they can lead to you just doing the thing that you need right now to bring more of what you want into your life. And I just pray that they're useful to you and that they can help you think about what you really want, the deeper things. So I would love to hear from you what you want, or how maybe what I have said has been helpful to you. You can contact me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au. You can find me at Ruth Amos Author on Facebook, and you can find me at Twitter at A Quiet Life Blog. As always, I would really love to hear from you, and I look forward to chatting to you again next time.